I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Lima?
Here.
Powell?
I'm here.
Leone?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Hagen?
Here.
Boyle?
Here.
Next on our agenda, we have the minutes of the meeting of August 3rd. So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? The only one I have is on page 2, the last paragraph there. It's Bob Del Elba or Robert Del Elba, not just Del Elba. Any other comments on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Aye. Okay. We have some correspondence from Hire Gruel and Associates, our planners.
Make a motion we receive and file.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Stanley, you have
yes.
Comments you want to make?
If I may, council remembers last December was the date for submission, the date for submission for the third round COA requirements. The preliminary, I'm sorry?
No.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Verizon.
Yeah. Better? All right. Last year, we submitted the third round COA submission, Council on Affordable Housing, in accordance with the state requirements. The process was to review everything, present to the governing body the draft report, submit the final report to COA. What happens after that is COA then holds a public hearing to see if there's anybody in the state that objects to the draft plan submitted to them. If nobody objects, then they begin what they refer to as their internal staff review of it. The internal staff review is required on all the submissions, and it then dictates any additional information that COA requires in order to deem it substantially complete. The report, COA has not officially released the recommendations that they have. They gave us the informal one saying, okay, we've reviewed it. These are the big ticket items that you're going to need to address before we can officially deem this complete. Herein lies the problem.
Excuse me, sir, what's COA?
I'm sorry, Council on Affordable Housing.
Council?
On Affordable Housing.
Affordable Housing, right, okay, thank you.
What the state is in right now is in a state of limbo, if you will, when it comes to COA, because there's proposed changes from the state level down, but no one knows what they are yet. If the options we have are really move forward with ours now while it's still in a state of flux, get substantial approval, and then no matter what changes after the fact, we're set. Or wait and see what the state changes in the state changes in the law are, and that might require us to redo everything we did last year. It might require us to do further amendments. What I asked our planners are, is if the verbal complaints that COA wants us to address are the only ones, what's a worst case scenario number for all the work that we need to do in order to submit it to COA to get final approval? That's what you see before you here. Now, I spoke with our planners this afternoon. They are reaching out to COA to see if we can offset 100% of this cost in the COA fees, the COA rehab fees. Right now, the way the law states, it's no. But since they have pretty much said these are a few issues in the grand scheme of things and they're very pleased with us, if they put it in writing and they give us a go-ahead, we can use all that at no additional cost. I don't know the answer to that, and that was as of about 5 o'clock. Is when I spoke with her last. This kind of ties hand in hand with the public meeting that the planning board had. Because the proposal before the planning board now for the developer on 57 ties directly hand in hand with the current plan submitted to Kelly. So if we don't go forward and we wait and see what the state says, it's unknown what we'll have to do, and it may affect that applicant's presentation and plan proposed to the borough. On the flip side, nothing may happen. We don't know. The problem is the state is not being very responsive, because typically it takes anywhere between 8 and 12 months for them to get back to us. We're about 8.5 months and we submitted it, and we have no response.
Richard, wouldn't that Washington Regency changes be for the 2010 plan?
No, because remember, the 2009 plan was our third round plan. Okay. It has not been approved by COA yet. If it was approved, it would be a different story. But we don't have to send it to COA each year, a 2010 plan, a 2011 plan. This is our third round requirements.
I attended a planning board meeting in Scott, Christine, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that discussed in that planning board meeting when he came before you, when he asked for the change? And there...
If I may, the change he was asking for is the number of units, not the plan.
I understand that. But based on the surplus that we had, he was still good.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that have been discussed in the planning board in that regards. Mr. Rice has not had a preliminary approval yet, mostly because of we're waiting on what COA is going to tell us. And there's been a lot of back and forth in that. The planning board attorney and Mr. Rice's attorney don't necessarily agree wholeheartedly on what's going to happen. So that's kind of where we're held up here. We're waiting for COA. But it has been discussed.
Third round went from 8 units to 4 units, correct?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
No, what I'm saying is it used to be for what, every 100?
It's been so long since I've read it. We had a surplus of about 172.
Right.
I don't recall the ratio you're referring to, but it did change.
Yeah,
I just don't remember what it was.
I
don't remember what it was.
Every fifth has to be a car unit.
Okay. Every fifth one?
Yeah, every fifth.
And how many units are over there?
The original plan was for 98. It would have been 78 market rate and 20 COA units. What he is proposing is there being 98 market rate units. And then making a substantial cash donation to fund our COA rehabilitation and perhaps other things in order to get around having to put up the COA units, since we have
the surplus
of COA units.
No action needs to be taken tonight. What I want to make sure the council is aware of is we were originally planning on budgeting for this in 2011. Due to the fact that it usually takes 8 to 12 months for them to get back to you, we weren't planning on this expenditure this year. I don't know. I mean, the hard part about this is you're speaking in unknowns. Your fate as it relates to this is regulated by COA, not by anyone in this room. And the only foolproof thing is to move forward, get approval, and then regardless of what happens, we're grandfathered in. If we get approval from the state to use the COA rehab funds to fully fund this, it won't be any cost. I don't know what the cost is going to be, and when I spoke with Susan today, she said they don't plan on spending that, but she wanted to give me an absolute worst-case scenario number. That's what you see before you.
Well, don't you think at the very least we should wait until you get the formal notice from COA stating that's what they want?
Yes and no, and I don't mean to be vague. The problem is COA's fate is hanging. We don't know if the concept of COA in its current form is
more reason to wait.
But what I'm saying is we don't know if we're better off now, or we don't know if we're better off waiting. I'm not going to lie, it's a gamble. Because we just don't know. No one in the state knows yet. And those who do aren't telling us from the state now. There's pros and cons one way. I mean, if you move forward, you get approved, you're done. You don't ever have to worry about it. If the numbers change, if the formulas change, and you're on the positive side, great. But you're grandfathered in forever. If you don't, who knows what COA is going to present to us. The rumblings that I hear from my contact in Trenton is that sometime in 2010, the revisions to COA are going to be made. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if you've heard anything separately.
Well, I mean, the bill that was intended to abolish COA was scheduled to be heard, I think, in May or June. It was carried until the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of goings on right now, trying to, you know, all the interest groups are all parroting back and forth. It looks like the fall, the last time I heard, maybe you've got more recent information, is that it was going to be dealt with in the fall. Nobody really knows for sure what goes on down in Trenton. At least we can't predict.
And even then, it'll be after elections.
Well, that's
absolutely. What I wanted to do is, I wanted to give council just a worst-case scenario number based on the current rules. What I would recommend is, kind of along what you said, Janine, we can wait to see what the report is and hope they don't amend COA first. Or, no matter what happens, we may need to expend funds if the COA rules change because we haven't been approved yet. We're actually being penalized because we're ahead of the curve. Most towns don't have the surplus that this community has. Most towns haven't submitted their third round yet because, you know, we're actually being penalized because we're following their requirements. Susan is going to reach out to COA. She tried today with no answer. She's going to try again tomorrow to see if they'll allow us to spend the COA rehab funds. I mean, the funds are there for COA, but they restrict what you can and can't spend it on and the amounts.
We still have to put out the money up front, though.
Not if we can use the COA funds. We have the trust fund with the money in it. Right now, we have a balance of $28,773.
Or you said something about just going forward trying to get approval.
Yeah.
That would be my recommendation. Get it under the wire.
There's a pro and a con to both. Right now, we don't have the money in the budget for it. The only way we can do it this year is if we get approval from COA to use all of the COA funds.
But why do we have to do this? If we've met their requirements, why do we have to expend more money if we've met everything that they...
We haven't. We met their timeline for submitting round three.
Right.
We met all their requirements for the submission for round three. Now they're coming back to us saying, okay, thank you very much. I also need A, B, C, and D.
I don't see that from COA. I see that from Hiram Gould.
No. Again, that's what that letter from COA is going to be when we get it. They verbally told Hiram Gould, this is what we're marking you up for. And that could have been from the changes.
Why do we have to do a confirmation on all county, all submitted documentation on the county rehabilitation program? Why are we being charged for that?
Because that's what the state wants. Again, those items you see before you are requirements from the state, not from Hiram Gould.
Dave, the COA process, when they go down there, they look through every single document. It's like taking a rake and going through sand in terms of trying to get every single little document and make sure you have validated every contention you have made in your plan. I've had it with other towns. And the plan.
I understand that, but number one is confirmation of all submitted documentation on the county rehabilitation program. What do we have to do
because
with
the county? Because the municipalities handle COA.
Well, I think that rehabilitation plan was a plan where money was spent from the county here rehabilitating projects in the borough. That's my understanding of that language. So they want to know what proof do you have that site A, B, or C was actually rehabilitated. I believe that's the interpretation of that language.
I'd like to know what they spent money on to rehabilitate.
But no, that's what the county says, not the county, but the state says, once they send us a letter, these are four things. I mean, we can call the county and get that information, but what the true quote confirmation at the state wants is unknown yet because I don't have the letter. The purpose of this letter was to give council a heads up, so as we go down this COA path, you know, you're all aware that there might be an expenditure related to COA that we have to expend.
Is there a deadline on this?
No. It'll be outlined in the letter when we receive it. They haven't. See, the problem...
There's none currently.
There's no
current.
There's always a deadline. The problem now is COA's state, you know, their fate is kind of hanging out there. It's amazing. I actually had another planner say COA has actually been more responsive now than they've ever been because they know that their fate is out there, that they don't know if they're going to be around in a few months. So now they're actually working with municipalities. You know, if you asked me last year, When is COA going to get back to us? I wouldn't expect them to get back to us this year. They're actually doing their jobs now. If they did it this way years ago, we wouldn't be here now.
I know I'm not supposed to ask a question, but what does this have to do with the Mount Laurel agreement?
That's what this is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mount Laurel is the...
the lawsuit that initiated COA.
I wonder how it predeceased this one.
The Mount Laurel, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Mount Laurel lawsuit is what created the COA regulations.
Yeah, it just wasn't mentioned. Right. And I couldn't...
Led to it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, when I get more information from COA, I will let you know. But as of now, this is just a heads up that it's coming back down the pike.
Hyder and Gruhl knows not to do any work.
Well, they've been awarded a contract. Remember, they were awarded a contract in January with no dollar amount. The funds will be certified as needed. That's what they were awarded at reorg.
Yeah, but this is not certified funds for them.
This is just a proposal that if they need to move forward. Now, they have expended a couple hundred dollars in basic back and forth, but they know that I think I said to them, any expenditure over $500 needs to go before the governing body, just to give them, because we need, I have to be able to have the ability to call them and ask them a question, that type of thing.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. That is not on the agenda. Just come on up to the podium and state your name and address for the record.
I'm Edna Detlis, 27 Fisher Avenue. This is for Victor. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good morning somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Not here, but this week on the radio, you're with Joyce. And I heard what you had to say about the forensic audit, which was much to my agreement.
Is she on the mic? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Do you want me to move it closer?
I guess.
Go for it.
You ready? Okay.
do you do stand-up also?
I'm trying. Okay. Victor, you made a comment regards to how much more would the people want to spend going after somebody that if they found criminal activity and to prosecute them? Well, it's my understanding that if and only if there is criminal activity found, that it becomes a judicial thing and the taxpayers, they don't have anything to do with it. And it's like your comment was sort of a deterrent toward the physical audit.
Well, my understanding, Dick, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if there was wrongdoing that was found as a result of our forensic audit, would we be responsible to retain your services to go after as part of litigation or something?
No. What would happen is that if an auditor doing the books or doing the forensic audit went through and found evidence of what he or she thought was criminal activity, then the first thing that would happen is that would be turned over to the prosecutor's office. Mm. The prosecutor's office would take the ball and run with it from then on. The prosecutor's office handles any criminal activity.
Okay. So I was wrong. I didn't realize that. I thought we would be on the...
Are you going back on the radio soon?
If I get an opportunity to, I will.
Thank you. If you would recant that would be nice.
The WRNJ reporter is in the audience here this evening, so I guess that Mr. Cioni will be one of his interviews.
Glad to ask you.
Is there anyone else?
Susan Sloan, 89 Grand Avenue. Now this concerns the Express Times. I'm not going to say that the paper's inflammatory questions were as usual because I do not happen to normally read the Express Times. However, I read the question from the editor yesterday, that was online, by the way, which asked readers to comment about the proposed audit. There were two blatant misstatements in the question, the first implying we citizens are looking for criminals. The second stated the cost of the audit, would be $100,000. The editor's implication, we citizens want to criminalize anyone sitting or ever sat on council is totally false. As a nurse, with any patient, I first have to take a history and physical. An audit is a history and physical. I cannot help if prior doctors or nurses did not get an accurate history from the patient. We have to deal with the now and the future. The physical identifies signs the patient portrays at the present time. The Burroughs physical at this time is dismal. I would never criticize anyone sitting or has sat behind the dais. Lord knows I would not like to be sitting there myself. These poorly paid public servants are taking pot shots from us, but regardless of here and now, the borough's financial history is very foggy. We all have to recognize the facts of history by the physical mechanism of an audit. No criminal intent. The second inflammatory statement by the editor was the sly intonation that $100,000 would be snatched from the hard-working public for the audit. I would say the sum is $20,000 a year for 5 years. The paper does not seem to understand that. Let us hope in the future we can discuss the history and physical of this patient with clear understanding. We are not the only municipality or state or nation having financial problems, but if we do not try to sort out the mess we are in by actually discovering the trends of the past, we will not heal. And I sincerely believe that. We cannot go on, and the paper who wants to sell papers cannot get us more into a fighting mode. We can't do that. We just have to discover why we are in this physical mess. And if you don't think we're not in a physical mess, then maybe I shouldn't be sitting here every, you know. That's the...
This was yesterday's paper?
It was online. It was...
I have it here.
Good.
Mm.
Is that, you're not the
expert. No, I'm not on the radio, but this is from the Warren Reporter. It's NJ.com. It's all website
of
Warren. Dot com.
Yeah. Here, do you want me to read it? During the November general election, borough voters will decide if the municipality should spend $100,000 on a five-year forensic audit. This type of audit would provide a heavy scrutinizing of municipal finances, much more detailed than the regular annual audit, with an emphasis on uncovering any possible criminal activity. See that? He's trying to break it into criminality, which it's not. And trust me, it's not. The question will appear on the ballot as a result of residents petition that garnered more than 400 signatures. To be eligible for the ballot, 249 signatures of the reported voters were required by law. Those in favor of the forensic audit, including members of the community group Concerned Citizens for Washington Borough, argue the measure is needed to uncover details of how the borough got itself into $12 million debt quagmire and how to improve the municipality's long-term finances. The petition for a ballot question was circulated in response to the Borough Council's previous decision not to authorize funding for the forensic audit. Council members opposed to the forensic audit said the measure is too expensive for the cash-strapped municipality. Members also questioned if the forensic audit would actually uncover criminal activity, and if it did, how the borough would be able to afford taking legal action. What do you think? Leave a comment below. Comments will be compiled and published in an upcoming Warren Reporter edition. And I really cringed when I read this.
Did you comment on it at all to the paper?
Are you kidding?
No.
No, I would rather stand up here than put myself As you know, in the past, in this borough, my dead husband has been viciously attacked. I will not ever, ever put my neck in that.
I understand your reasons.
I am not he, but I still cannot do that. Sure.
Is there anyone else?
Jack Fox, I live on West Door Street near Washington. I just have a question, and Mr. Cushing can probably answer it better. If by some fluke they uncover some criminal activity, would we be required to press charges on that person? Or
what would happen, Mr. Fox, is that it would go to the prosecutor. The prosecutor would investigate the matter, and then the prosecutor would determine whether or not to pursue charges. And if there were, you know, charges preferred, then the prosecutor would prosecute and the matter would be resolved that way.
Well, we wouldn't necessarily be bound to...
No. That would be a prosecutor call.
If I can piggyback off of that a little bit, kind of off of Mr. Cioni's comments, if criminal activity was found, could that cause a more intensive forensic audit of other years that could cost the borough money? Because it seems I remember that when we got the bids, that they were, it started at X amount of dollars and would go to Z depending on what they found. And I was wondering, what was it that caused that extra money to possibly be incurred?
Well, the initiative calls for a review of 5 years.
Right.
That's me.
Can't hear you.
The initiative calls for a review of 5 years. Better?
Yeah, okay. I think what Scott's saying is that if something comes out of the 5-year audit, that may...
go back farther?
Well, would they make us go back farther at our own expense?
No. What they would do, yeah. No. What they would do is, once there's something found that might be criminal, the auditor stops, they get paid to that point, and it's turned over to the prosecutor's office.
And they have, by law, to investigate. If they find...
Correct.
If the auditor turns it over...
If they find one, they stop right there.
If they find it in year one, that's what they get paid for, and it gets turned over to the prosecutor's office.
And then there would be no more...
They can find one and give it to the prosecutor and continue. And then they can't say, oh, well, this guy only, let's just say, it's a hypothetical, this guy did something in 1908 or 2008. They cannot just say, well, he only did it once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's stupid. They have to go back and find what the guy, or they, or whatever did.
But I guess that still doesn't answer the question, though, right? So let's say the audits from 2005 to 2010. They uncover something that was done wrong in 2005. It's turned over to the prosecutor's office, and the prosecutor says, yeah, this looks like something's been done wrong in 2005. I want to go back further. The borough's on the hook for the extra money. I don't know. I mean,
I don't think
could they
so,
mandate that? Or
no,
is it,
I don't think so. You might want to do it independently. But the bottom line is, I think the prosecutor's office would undertake whatever audits and would pursue it if they thought they had some activity that was of a criminal nature involving an individual or individuals. They would pursue it to the extent that they felt reasonable. There's a thing called the statute of limitations, though, so that it was probably 6 years.
7 years for financial records.
Okay, you might be right on that. I don't know. So they would probably not go back more than 6-7 years from the time that they actually discovered whatever issues are going on. So if it was 2011, they would be going back to 2004.
But not at our expense.
No.
This is just a clarification. Criminal intent does not mean, I mean, if somebody pocketed money, we all want to know that. But if somebody just happened to vote because that's the way goodness told them at that time to vote, that's not criminal.
Well, I don't think the audit would address anything having to do with the voting of governing body members. I don't think that's the purpose of an audit. I think the purpose of an audit would be to look at the financial records and say, okay, a check was written on this particular date to Mr. Jones. Did Mr. Jones exist? Was the check written? Was it cashed by, you know, John Q. somebody who was not the person who should have had the check?
Right.
Those are the kind of things they're looking at to see if that type of activity existed.
Yeah.
And that would be the purpose of a forensic audit, to really look at that type of criminal activity as compared to some other type of activity.
I don't think it's necessarily to look for criminal activity as a way to find out if we're owed money. You know,
well, I'm not, Dave, I'm the term, one of the issues that we had with the way that the initiative was written was no one really knows, no one defined what the term forensic audit means, okay? So your definition of forensic audit might be different from Terry's definition of forensic audit, which may be different than the mayor's definition of forensic audit. So I'm not sure, and I don't think there's any statutory or case law definition of what a forensic audit is. That's one of the concerns that we had expressed in our memo to the council about concerns that we had with the way it was drafted, not with the issue. I mean, obviously, we don't comment on the merits of whether it should be done or not. That's not our job. But we had some issues with the language questions.
Mrs. Setlick, you have something else?
And this appropriation of funds is not criminal, is it?
Yeah, that would probably come under a rubric of criminal activity. In other words, well, the way I understand it, and whether this is a definition in the statute, I'm not 100% sure, but normally the inference from misappropriation of funds is you take funds that belong, say, to the public. In other words, any funds that come into the borough are public funds, and you would take them and misappropriate them to some use that was not a public use.
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
Okay. Your question then, if somebody took it from one account,
yes,
and put it in another account.
That's not criminal.
That's not criminal,
it's not,
no.
Right,
no, it may be a misjudgment in some way, but it's not a criminal activity.
Yeah.
Or bad account.
I looked up the word forensic and it had nothing to do with criminal.
Yeah, I know.
My dictionary didn't say anything
about criminal. Yeah. It's the term forensic can be used. I mean, there are forensic pathologists, mm-hmm, or, you know,
mm-hmm,
yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of terminology of what it means. Right.
Okay, is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Mrs. Morrison.
Good evening, all. Evelyn Morrison, 20 Madison Avenue. On the state legislative website, there was a forensic auditor that quoted that a forensic audit is like a 1,000-piece puzzle that one has to put together and then decide what the process was. So it's going to be interesting to look at that 1,000-piece puzzle, whether it's 1 year or 5 years. But now, Mr. Cushion, I would like you to explain to me, what role would the Department of Justice have if they were invited in as a complaint in this process should criminal activity be found?
Well, normally the process would be if it were someone within the borough that had misappropriated funds or stolen funds, that's an easy term. Then normally if it's, say, it's not uncommon to have a CFO or a treasurer or somebody like that, not suggesting in any way that anybody in our borough is in that category, but normally they go to the county prosecutor, okay? What I found is the Department of Justice would be, of course, the U.S. attorney. As we know from their activities in Hudson County, they often get involved when there is corruption at the elected level. They often
or anywhere.
Well, I mean, mm-hmm, they don't, you know, they tend to get involved in particular types of cases. They cede some of the other types of cases, the garden variety fraud cases, to the local prosecutors or to the state attorney general's office.
Now, the antitrust division, give us the definition of what they do.
Antitrust has to do with business type of activities.
Procurement, contract,
No.
Bid.
Antitrust is a statute that prevents businesses from engaging in predatory practices. It really doesn't have an application to government.
And is government immune to that application?
Actually, there are. It is not immune, but it's immune from damages.
Immune from damages, but not prosecution.
You can get injunctive relief against government on the antitrust level.
Now, in the last year's audit, the state controller's audit, it spoke to the misappropriations and mismanagement as it becomes an issue of contract, correct? And also the bid process and also the procurement process, correct, Rich?
Correct.
When we look at a government procuring business and the bidding process is not equal, then that becomes an issue of antitrust.
Not necessarily.
No?
What traditionally might happen when you have issues of government antitrust activity, they normally occur when you have government operations that compete with private business. For instance,
that's one of the areas,
a water company,
yeah,
or a sewer company or something like that, you might have some claim of antitrust activities because they're monopolizing or engaging in certain practices that are forbidden. So normally, in terms of contract procurement and something, that wouldn't be something that would implicate antitrust type of activities.
On the website, the information stated that if a certain bidder received the bid more than once, twice, three times, that's a concern that they have in this process of the procurement. That spells out very, very clearly. And in our controller's review or audit, he spoke very, very clearly on those number of recommendations to improve the process, equalize the process, and be within the law in the process, correct?
Well, my recollection of the controller's report, I haven't read it in a couple of months, so bear with me, but they, as I recall, Rich, they focused on the acquisition of the fire truck by the fire company.
Yes.
And
too specific of a bid.
Right, that's
mm-hmm.
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncommon for fire companies.
I understand that, you know, but when we look at the law and the procedures and policies, we want to be as clear as possible, correct? And that's part of your job to make sure that the contract. And they did say that in the controller's report that you should look closer on those contracts.
No, that's not what it said.
Oh.
What it said, we had actually looked at that in connection with that. What they suggested, my reading of it, again, I have it in front of me, so I don't
it's okay. We read it yesterday.
The exact language. So my recollection is they said the attorney should be involved more in the process.
Surely.
And we had actually been, for the record, we had been involved in that process. And the bidding process that was carried out was perfectly legal.
Okay, legal, that's another issue. But when the comptroller says that the borough was at a disadvantage during most of these contracts, so that would be an interest that specifically would be yours to make sure that the borough does not be at a disadvantage when they're writing their own writing the contract
Let me give you the factual background in connection with that. And this is very common with fire companies and the acquisition of fire trucks, okay? What traditionally happens in these situations is that the fire companies go out and they meet with various truck sellers, okay? And what they do is they find out what's available in the marketplace and they find out what type of specific appurtenances, what type of equipment that they want on a truck. So they go out and they often write bid specifications that can be interpreted as something that could favor one particular bidder versus another particular bidder, because they want a particular carburetor on the truck, or they want a particular type of pump, or they want a certain horsepower for something else. And those type of specifications are very technical. Traditionally, the lawyer does not get involved in looking at that, because I wouldn't know whether a 50 horsepower pump for the pumper or on the truck
mm-hmm.
is the right horsepower or the wrong horsepower. What we do is we look at the process. Was there enough time for the bid,
in
other
the bid
words,
process,
give
the
10
yes.
days notice,
mm-hmm.
was the were the paperwork set up correctly, okay? The complaint that the controller had was that the time period allocated for other bidders to come in was only like 10 days, which was the minimum period. With respect to the council, that was approved by council. That was
yes,
a
understandable.
Rather than a legal decision. The time period was correct. So we could say to the council, the timing of this was absolutely correct. It was nothing, the controller did not find anything illegal that was done in the process. What the controller felt was that because of the rush at the end of the year, and there was tremendous pressure to get this truck purchased by the end of the year, the issue the council was faced with at that point in time was that if they acted expeditiously, based on the recommendations given by the fire company, that they would be able to save a substantial amount of money. And what the fire company represented to the council was that the manufacturer, because of some increases in steel prices, would not be able to hold the price after January 1st. That's the fire company coming in and telling the council what happened. Needless to say, the council has great respect for the fire company and would not believe in any way, in my opinion, that the fire company would play games in any way. So
I
the council, so how am I finishing?
Go ahead.
So the council was faced with this particular set of facts. Our issue was, can they do it? Is there enough time? Is it proper? The answer was yes, and that is correct. The advice was correct in that regard. And the council then made a policy decision, which is, look, we know this truck has to be bought. The fire company has represented that this truck is vital to the safety and welfare of the community. And therefore, it's necessary to get the truck, and if we can save 20 grand, whatever the number was, then it was going to proceed ahead. So that, Evelyn, mm-hmm. is the whole background.
I appreciate
yeah.
the details on that.
Yeah.
But the overall picture that the comptroller was really concerned about was the fair and open practice or the policies within the bid. So when we looked at that specific, they talked about a difference of an inch in the inside cabinet or something like that. That's a very specific type bid, and I understand that, and if there's only one manufacturer making it, but surely the process is to be equalized, giving everybody an opportunity, those that can, to bid.
That was the 10-day.
The time, and also there's other issues there. But equally on the other side, when it comes to procurement, they spoke very clearly about the contract stating if they don't have a dollar amount, that it should state that not to exceed. And I just thought that would be the language that a lawyer would make
what
sure that would be in.
There? I'm not familiar.
Next time we'll have a discussion, and I'll have the controller's report with us, and everybody else can have a copy of that. And we'll talk specifically about
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude.
It must be recommendation 6. I have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Thank
what was
you.
The recommendation?
The recommendation, the status?
No. What was the recommendation? I don't remember the recommendation.
It just says write contracts that include enforcement provisions to protect the borough's interests, ensure all contracts include scopes of services, provisions detailing vendor obligations under the contract. In cases in which the contract amount is unknown, use not to exceed language.
The comptroller's office was referring to the professional service contract,
mm-hmm.
not the sealed bid.
You know, I did read the entire thing, and there were some questions there, and I think that maybe that's an issue for another time, but those things were just pointed out to me, and I thought, you know, I thought that was the responsibility, part of the role and responsibilities of the attorney to make sure that every contract that the borough is responsible for would be reviewed.
Yeah, we don't review every contract. We review those contracts that are given to us,
mm-hmm.
and those we hopefully give the right advice.
Sure. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is,
yes, ma'am.
What is the process in which a committee would be developed, say, for instance, a charter review committee?
A charter review committee?
Mm-hmm.
You mean to review the borough's charter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look at the statute to kind of go over that.
Okay, you wouldn't know that offhand?
No.
Okay, because I said this before, and I want to say it again. In reading and studying the borough code book, that it's really necessary for it to be updated for the fact that it should be accurate and updated information. And I think there's a lot of citizens that would be interested in helping be on that committee to review the code book and then also to make recommendations as per the input of the professionals, to bring it up to date and make it a workable, more valuable piece.
Sure.
So I just suggest that.
I agree with you.
For
there
the new year, you
parts
know.
Parts of the borough
that's so important
that have been probably on there for, that are archaic at the present time.
Because I asked, what happened?
Mr. Morgan, if I may interrupt you for just a moment there. Councilman Haslam or Councilman Higgins, do you remember us doing something like that a few years ago? Or
you did parts of it. It was John Corby who made some changes to it.
We went through the code book and made some changes.
Okay, is that what I'm remembering?
Right.
Okay.
But I believe you're asking for something further than codification.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You're asking
I'm sorry, Mrs. Moore. I thought we had done something like that in the past 10 years or so.
Okay.
That's why I was...
And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the police department, it no longer exists as it is structured in the code book. So does it update? Does it eliminate? You know, what happens to those departments that
you're
are no longer...
Right.
Existing. There should be a very clear policy or statement on that.
Traditionally, that's done when there's a recodification. In other words, a recodification is a process where you go out and hire General Code or one of the other code companies. They come in, they do 90% of the legwork. And what they do is they come before the governing body with 100 or 50 recommendations.
Right.
Say, you know, your ordinance so-and-so eliminated the police department. You still show in your code a police department.
Yeah.
What do you want to do here? And, of course, you check off a box that says eliminate so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
You might say you have an ordinance about horse crossings or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been on the code book for
yes.
a few years.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you want to deal with that. There's an expense associated with that. Personally, as the municipal attorney, I'd advocate it. On the other hand, I recognize that, you know, financial issues are such that this council is very challenged from a financial standpoint at the present time.
Not a problem.
So they have to balance out whether they need to do that or whether they don't. Another great thing when you do that is you can get the code electronically so it can be added to the website so that citizens have access to it. It's another great benefit for the public.
I think there's enough citizen input and concern and commitment, and there's enough intelligent professional people in the community that perhaps we could develop a team in which you'd have legal representation and, of course, always you to refer back to. Also, there's people who have been involved with government for a long time, and those are the things that we could work together as a team to make sure that our goal would be completed maybe the year end of 2011. I worked before on Reading, Pennsylvania's Charter Review Committee, and it was a good experience for those that were involved because it kept us at task, and we had to report back to make sure that every month we had made progress, and it's a really important process.
Now, when you're talking about a charter review, are you talking about the process of changing form of government?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
The Faulkner worked. It worked when it worked.
Charter review.
Yes.
That would be generally referred.
No, just the Washington Code book.
You just want to go through and update the code. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a different animal.
No, I think the form of government is perfect, but I think the people in the community do not know how they are empowered by their Faulkner Act. I think they had a good experience just recently on what it means to you know, give the people the power.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk more about that with the public here. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Rudy Pichero, 191 Broad Street. Got some questions on the website specifically. We are now seeing on the web the council's packets. But in order to get the council packets, you have to go through the agenda, through the previous meeting minutes that are already on the web, and then in there. I'm requesting that we split the council packets separately, so if any resident wants to look at just what the packets are, they've already read the preceding minutes, they can look at that online, and if they want to print it, they can print it.
Okay.
I don't see any reason to do that. If you want specific pages to be printed out, you can print those specific pages. The items, all the documentation on the website is searchable. So if you're looking for a specific ordinance or resolution, it's easy
to through,
find.
To get there, when you pull up the web, to get to the council packets, you've got to go through the agenda and through the previous meeting minutes.
Correct.
So you're going to be tabbing all the way through, tabbing. Why can't we just click on it, have it displayed, and if we want to print it, we can print it. And some people don't want to print everything. They like to read it online.
That's fine. You could read it online, and if you want to only print two pages of it, you could select the pages you want to print, and you could print those two pages. They're not going to break apart and scan separate documents. I mean, the bottom line is transparency. So we put everything up there. What you want to do with it and disseminate it how you wish is your prerogative. A couple of months ago, you didn't even have that as an option. So, you know, look, we're probably doing more than 99% of any municipality as far as documentation and transparency and what's available on the web. We've never even come close to approaching what we're putting on the website now, including the manager's reports and everything like that.
Well,
so,
if I may, just so I understand, you're talking about you're reading through the minutes and they're...
I'm pulling up tonight's agenda, Council.
Okay,
I see the agenda. I tab through the agenda and I get the previous meeting minutes.
Okay.
I've already read the previous meeting minutes because I already posted. And I'm reading those and tabbing down. Finally, I get to the council packets, which is where the meat of the meeting is. Okay?
The meeting for the agenda. Okay.
Well, just what? So everybody understands, too, I mean, the prerogative is always given to council members that if they don't wish to expend borough taxpayer money on having the agenda packet printed out by the clerk, it's all online. So me personally, I don't ask Christine to print it out for me. I print it out at my own expense, the entire document. So does, I believe, Vic, your office does the same thing. So I, prefer it that way because I can print out the whole packet myself without having
and
to wait.
And you've already printed out the previous meeting minutes, and boy, is that a good, use of resources, resources.
I don't think about it in the minutia like that.
If I may, I think the clarification, the minutes you're referring to are the ones they approved tonight.
Yeah.
They're not previous minutes.
They're from the last meeting that we have to approve.
They're not the official minutes on the website.
Official
letters. But the minutes that were approved tonight will be put on separately.
By
themselves. Yeah.
Right.
There's two things. There's the agenda and there's the minutes. The agenda basically incorporates everything from the previous minutes of the meeting, including this agenda. So once the minutes of this meeting are approved, or in this case, the meeting of August 3rd minutes get put by themselves as the minutes to the previous meeting. So,
So what's on the website today?
Today is
this meeting.
Today is this whole
packet. Just our agenda.
No,
the whole packet.
Right. And what's going on the agenda once the minutes of August 3rd are verified in the second category is just the minutes and the audio.
Well, it's all under the council notes or council agenda.
Correct.
So everything there.
Could we put along the side little links to things that would be further down so he doesn't have to go through 20 pages of
the document is searchable. And you can tab down, page down, page. You can get through the whole document.
Which is the average. You know what you're searching for.
Well, no. If you hit the page down button, you actually jump pages. So you could actually go down to wherever you need to go. I mean, again,
it was just a suggestion.
Is there a link
put on the side that would make it easier?
No, not easily. Not
the minutes are actually a part of the packet.
Yeah.
So that's why they're where they are. So,
like I said, if you're scrolling through and you're reading everything and you're in the minutes and you say, hey, page 14 of the bill list, I want to print that out. So you can print out just page 14 of the bill list. You don't have to print out the 75 pages of the packet. That's all. And again, before, you'd have to go to the clerk and she'd have to make copies and probably charge it for copies. So, I mean, if anything, this is much more efficient. So, again, searchable. Let's say there's ordinance 1-2014. You just type in the PDF search bar, 1-2014, and it'll bring you to where that is.
And the entire packet is a one PDF
document. I mean, it's maybe a little annoying, but it's not, too much of a burden for anybody who wants to find information.
Okay. Well, it is a burden. That's why we brought up.
Well, it's a burden if you had to come into the physical location and get copies of what you're specifically looking for, or go into a conference room and looking over the whole packet. So to answer the question, no, it's not easy to do something to break it up into sections.
Would you look at it to see if it could be done?
Of course.
Okay. Next.
Wait, can I just ask something? You could have a table contents, but would you still install that?
That's what I think I was going through, a table contents with the link.
Or bookmark.
Okay.
Adobe does bookmark.
We'll look at it and see if there's a...
Yeah, it's very easy to do.
If there's a way to do it.
I noticed that on our website, we still have no audio recording for the January 5th meeting.
Of this year?
Yeah. When would that be on?
Do we know anything about that, Ms. Blanchard?
I don't know. We were going back that far. Do you recall?
I don't remember when we officially made the...
Right.
We started the first quarter. Ended the first quarter.
Right.
Right.
And we said it was only going to, I believe we said it was only going to go forward. We weren't going to do...
Okay.
Quite a bit of...
Yeah.
Well, because that's the only one that's not there.
Is there anything before that?
No, the first meeting in January is
then
good.
That's why.
That's why it's been started.
It's not
that's when council approved to put audio.
Okay. Like who's our borough treasurer?
Right now it's the CFO.
Why is it listed as Bill Zuckerman?
At the time, Bill Zuckerman was the CFO.
Right now?
No. Where are you?
Right now, on the web.
The website might just need to be updated. It's the CFO. Bill Zuckerman was the previous CFO at the time, so we can just update the website.
Okay, he's on the web.
Just so everybody understands, if you see something on the website that's incorrect, a name or something wrong, you know, it's one phone call. You know, no big deal.
Okay. Speaking of about no big deals, since you have decided not to pay me to come in for court, would you please inform the court, Mr. Phelan, that I will not be at any more court hearings to represent the borough or my former position? So all the pending cases they can dispose of. And I'm not at all pleased with the letter you sent me regarding my sick time payment. I don't understand
that's
why.
A personnel issue, and it needs to go in executive session or with
rice
the
notice, right?
Or vice notice or with the manager. I don't want to get into a legal issue here.
No, we can go to executive session.
If it's a personnel issue,
yeah, it's
you need
mine.
To be riced.
That's me.
You need to be riced, and it needs to be done properly, correct?
Actually, I think that Mr. Bashir could waive his rights.
If he wants to, but I want to hear that.
He wants to turn it publicly. You know what I tell us?
I waive my rights.
Okay. And he could discuss, citizen's rights, could bring it up, employee can discuss issues in public if he wants.
You were notified in sufficient time to make preparation for my departure. You did not. Okay.
By the time the budget was introduced, that's when your notification was given.
When were changes to that budget? Were they done after February?
Reductions.
Only reductions. We didn't add $26,000 to the last budget?
Add 26?
For a dam study?
No. Mm-hmm. That was money that was available from 2009.
Oh.
Capital money.
Well, I expect that the borough is going to give me interest on the money that they're holding that may not get paid till next year.
Actually, the goal is to have you paid at the first meeting in November if funds will allow it, which is also what I said.
No, you didn't say that.
I said if we can transfer it after November.
You said that I could get them, but I may not get my money until the first of the year.
Correct.
Okay. Yet, you can get a retroactive pay raise and a contract in a short period of time and get your money.
When did I get a retro?
Last November.
First of all, my contract wasn't retroactive.
No, you got a pay raise retroactive to September.
Second of all the employees who have since retired, most of them have actually volunteered to get the payout over 18 months. All the police officers are getting paid for unused sick and vacation over 18 months.
They are under a different contract, and they have more time,
they
can accumulate.
They were required to be paid immediately.
And they didn't retire. You disbanded them.
We're still
council disbanded them, and they were picked up by the township.
We can speak about this all night, but the reality of it is there wasn't sufficient money in the budget due to the time frame when you notified us. As a result, after November 1st, when we're legally allowed to make transfers, if there's sufficient funds available, the reimbursement will be made to you.
I expect then, if it's not till November, that I get interest on my money at 10% a month.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I have two questions.
If you would come up to the podium, please, and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Pat Casperine. I live at Alvin Sloan Avenue. And regard to the contract, Pat Casperine, Alvin Sloan Avenue. I have a question regarding contracts. You mentioned the fire truck contract. It's not that specific contract. You said that you don't review all contracts, only those that are given to you. Did I hear that right? Who decides which contracts you review? Is it the manager, council?
Manager.
Just the manager?
Correct.
He has sole discretion.
Well, ultimately, council has final authority. Council can have the attorney review any contract if they choose to. The local public contracts law allows a certain amount of authority to be rested on the purchasing agent's shoulders.
Are you, you're a QPA?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you would, and then you would ask them?
Council always gets to see every contract.
It depends on the issue. Ultimately, everything gets awarded by council.
Right, but I'm saying he doesn't review each one. I understand that.
Technically a purchase order is a contract.
But just the fire truck was a large ticket item, and I'm just wondering.
That was a sealed bid.
And
so you don't review bids?
Sometimes, if we're asked to review them. But normally we don't review the bid documents.
You don't?
Because the way it works on bid documents is that there's usually a package of standard boilerplate language
Correct.
That goes into the bid documents. And then you have the specifications. The specifications are technical in nature. We never review those. But the engineer, and they may be prepared by the engineer. Perhaps they're prepared by the manager. Maybe they're prepared by the police department or something else. For instance, if it was a gun or, a weapon. They might say, we need a 44 millimeter having this type of handle grip or whatever. So those kind of, they're usually...
I just used the term contract.
Yeah.
You had used the term
contract. Yeah, right.
Not, you didn't use the term bid, you used the term contract.
Right.
So bid documents on contracts, I understand that you won't review all of them, but ultimately the manager makes that decision, and if I understand you will get copies, and then...
If they don't
make that decision, though.
If there was an instance where I reviewed a contract, and I deemed that it was not needed to be reviewed by the attorney... Ultimately, it's still going to go before council to be awarded.
And they would know that you decided that you didn't think that the attorney needed to review it?
Not necessarily.
Okay,
I mean,
so they might not know.
They have the discretion to award or not award.
Okay. But, I mean, they...
They have the ultimate say.
But they might not know that the attorney
If you're asking me if there's a log on who reviewed it, no.
No, I'm asking you if you decide you don't think that the attorney has to review it. The council gets... I understand they all get copies. Does the council know that you decided or that
no.
the... Okay,
unless
that was my
ask.
Question.
Unless
you ask.
And at any given time, any one of us could probably say that, I would prefer the attorney to review this contract, whether the manager supports that or not.
Okay. And the other thing is, regarding the garbage, should I wait till you get to that ordinance? I see it's on your agenda. I just have a little simple question.
Yeah.
You want me to wait?
There's
going to
be a public hearing on that portion.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Accept the motion to close the audience portion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next up we have our ordinances. Ordinance 10-2010, an ordinance to amend Chapter 94 of the Borough of Washington Fees. This is the public hearing and adoption.
So moved, Ordinance 10-2010.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on Ordinance 10-2010.
No.
Move we close the public hearing?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? And a motion to adopt.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 10-2010.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call on that, please.
Leary?
Yes.
Cowell?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Coyle?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes. Next up, we have ordinance 11-2010, an ordinance authorizing a non-binding referendum on whether collection of garbage should remain a municipal service.
I'll move ordinance 11-2010.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Yeah, we still need to fix the actual ordinance. You're missing the because language. Where it says, whereas the mayor and council believe that privatizing solid waste collection is desirable because...
The fifth one down. The fifth whereas.
And maybe that's where you should mention it would be removed from the, you know...
That's what's missing is the non...
Cap
one. The binding one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That introduction, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on ordinance 11-2010. Ms. Gasper, you had something on this one?
I just wanted to know, the shared services, or the status, was looking into other towns, the shared services.
Okay. Councilman Boyle, do you have anything
yeah,
to
thank
on
thank you for asking that.
Absolutely zero activity with the town of Belvedere and the borough of Hampton. No, not even that far. I reached out to the town of Belvedere all summer. They had a meeting just after 4th of July. They said they came to an agreement. They were going to get back to me with the numbers. I reached out again. I haven't heard back from the council person I'm working with. Could be on vacation. I don't know. But I... You know, they have their public, they have their governing body meeting the Monday before our meeting. I haven't been able to make it to their meeting yet. I'm trying to get there, physically get there. The borough of Hampton had no contact with them since May.
Okay, but you're still working with the Belvedere, and I understand if
if that's not working, yeah.
I have a question that kind of might be stupid, but the shared services, if we do that, would that still be within the tax base?
This, we have to be very careful how we say shared services. We're not sharing a service with the town of Belvedere. We're, you know, quite frankly, we're reaching out for them to help us keep our costs down. We have nothing to give, and that's, I don't want to be very negative. Correct. So it could be an interlocal agreement, something like that.
Or would that be a contracted service?
But essentially, essentially, what's your question, if I can, I think... would it be a cost savings over what we're doing today, let's say, if it's through Blue Diamond? Is that what you're asking?
So I'm asking, would it still be within the tax base, or would it be, like, privatized?
No, it would be within the tax base, but it would sort of be privatized through another municipality.
But it would be outside of the tax.
That's what I'm asking the question.
Yes, that's the advantage. That's why I'm trying to just not give up on that, because it would take it out of our cap levy. It's a requirement not to 4.5%?
2%.
For next year, it's 2%. Yeah.
When you create the municipal budget, there's really two columns, the amount that you need to raise in local tax dollars and everything else. And when you go to the state, because the state has to approve your introduced and adopted budget, you say, these are the services that I'm providing in-house, these are the ones I'm contracting out. When you come up with the dollar amount of the services you're contracting out, they allow you to take that money outside of the levy cap and put it inside the regular budget. So that would be the difference.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's tax savings to the taxpayer, sorry.
That's correct.
Correct.
Correct. It's just a question of what column it's in. Now, there's the levy cap, and then there's the budget cap. So there's two different caps. So it depends on where the state and how much of that service the state says can go inside the levy cap and outside.
But Ms. Casperine, if we go forward with any other municipality, it's not gonna, we're not gonna go forward if it costs us more than what we're doing now.
Oh,
okay.
So Deborah, you had something?
Back again.
Okay.
You can keep your jacket on if you're cold. That's
no,
fine.
No, that's fine. Can you hear me, Sue?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Richard?
Yes.
On page 3 of your very nice email, you know, about the refuse collection.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have my copy.
Well,
so
that's all right. I'll read it to you. It says, 1, divide the assessed property value by 100. An example, $150,000 divided by 100 equals $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, multiply the result by your tax rate.
And then it says divided?
Yeah.
Yeah, we corrected that. That was a typo.
Well,
we corrected it the
much.
Other day.
Okay.
When you look at it so often, it kind of blended in.
It was actually an error picked up by a citizen that actually
tried it?
Reached out.
I tried it. What the hell?
It was corrected first thing yesterday morning.
Yeah. As soon as we found out about it, it was corrected immediately.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. Anyway, you listed like 9 different companies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I got 2 questions. Mm-hmm. If shared services isn't decided yet, how can you put this thing up on the ballot? How can you vote on it tonight to make an ordinance?
Well,
put it up.
Two-prong approach.
The vote tonight is to put the question on the ballot to let the voters decide, do the voters want to privatize garbage collection or do they want it to be taxpayer funded?
Yeah, I realize that.
That's the question.
But if, in fact...
Again, taxpayer funded can be the way the
services
now or via shared services.
Right. Okay, anyway, there's 9 different companies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that in November the voters say, yeah, we want to privatize this. So does that mean that there'll be 9 different companies? It's feasible if you have 9 different families on one block and you have 9 to choose from, it's feasible they could each pick out one
Theoretically, yes. But every vendor that I spoke with said they're not coming to town for 100 homes. They need to make it worth their while to come. Right now, the ones that are established out here, I think the first one was Sanico is firmly established out in this section of the state. The others are semi-established in this section of the state.
So that kind of my
point
is that
you might get 2 or 3. You're not going to get 9.
Yeah, I spoke to about 4 or 5 municipalities that actually have privatization. The most that they ever have in any given time is 3 vendors servicing the entire town. The most. Most are 2, but there was like 1 or 2 that had 3 carriers servicing the town.
Yeah, but at any rate, what I want to know is, have you gone further with the fact that, so you're only going to have 2 or 3, and that you don't know whether it's going to be once or twice a week. You don't know what days of the week it is, so it's, again, it's feasible have trucks all over the town.
Theoretically,
on our
Monday through Monday through Friday. The question is, right now you have pickup on a pre-established day. If another company picks up on a different day, yes, the answer is you could have trucks in more often than you see.
So I could be woken up every morning then. Okay. Well, all righty. I was just wondering what was going to happen.
If I recall correctly, and I have it downstairs, most of them pick up on the same 1 or 2 days a week.
Yeah, I didn't ask the specific question, but I asked if there's been any citizen complaints about multiple carriers within the town, like if you have 2 carriers, you know, on different days. And the clerk and the, you know, or zoning or whoever I spoke to at any given town basically said there's never been a complaint or an issue. Does it happen? Probably. But does it happen 5 days a week? Doubtful.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Evelyn Morrison. A question for you, Attorney Cushing. What was your reasoning or your thinking to create the non-binding ordinance?
Actually, we created 2, and that was council's decision.
Council decided that they would go with the non-binding, so the ultimate decision then lies with them in January. Correct?
Whenever they make the decision.
And did it have anything to do with the lack of documentation that we don't have now?
Why we went non-binding?
Yeah.
I don't believe that was the main reason.
Okay.
I guess
there was more flexibility.
For leverage.
Okay.
Flexibility.
You wanted to get a feel for the citizens' opinion
and then make a decision, however, not using that, that decision as the final decision.
Well, for me personally, yeah, I would, I support the citizen's input, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Councilman Higgins brought the binding, non-binding question before we went to put this in writing for the ballot, and then those discussions were had after that.
Okay, so that was your reasoning
thing?
It
also had to do with the restrictions on the binding one,
We would have had to change the ordinance.
We would have had to change the ordinance, the timing of it to get it on the ballot, and then also it had to do with how long we would be locked into it if it was binding, 3 years.
Right, that's
and
right.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the other
okay,
reasons
so the
why
flexibility
it
was more of the priority.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. The other question, and this is a dollar and cents question, when you write the ordinances, is that your regular duty, or do you get paid in addition to that?
It's all come within the
So all the ordinances within your parameters?
Yeah, the provision is something to the effect that the standard ordinances are within the...
Okay, good. Okay,
we
thank you.
We charge for any non-standard.
Okay, now. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Yes, there is one more.
Sorry.
All right.
Hanging 22 School Street. Okay. It is my understanding that currently, because the garbage is in essence lumped in as part of the taxes, it is deductible off of your U.S. government standard 1040 taxes. How will it be handled if it's extracted out and paid as a utility? I cannot deduct my electrical. I cannot deduct my gas. I cannot deduct the sewer.
But you wouldn't, what if you take it out and it's... You
right, so it would reduce...
You would not be able to take it off of your taxes.
Would not be taken off the taxes.
Right.
That has never been addressed to anybody.
Yeah, well,
it has?
We,
on the website.
Okay, like, I, of all my notes in all the meetings that I've come, that was never brought up, so...
Perhaps you weren't here for that meeting, but...
I only missed one meeting, and to my knowledge...
Well, that must have been it.
To my knowledge, I spoke to several people, and that was never brought up, so that's why I'm asking
the
question.
The former park director we had brought it up originally way back in the beginning of the year about being able to deduct your garbage collection off the taxes.
Okay.
And it's been a conversation, and Victor, you might have referenced it about... You calculated, too, about what it would be...
I think it was actually in the... It might have been in the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But even still, I mean, it's addressed in the on the web page. If you look at the frequently asked questions, that's one of the questions.
Okay. Sorry, I don't have access to that at the moment. Thank you.
If I may, for those who wish, the FAQs and all the information that was placed on the website is available in Borough Hall, in front of the receptionist's office, tax collection office, clerk's office, as well as the library, and I've asked the Business Improvement District to place copies out as well.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this ordinance?
Move we close the public hearing.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All right, any discussion on that? Okay, roll call, please.
Calvo?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Chiani?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
You want to do resolution 159 now?
Yes, we do. Thank you. Resolution 159-2010, a resolution designating Ordinance 11-2010 to be an emergency ordinance so that it can be adopted without a 20-day waiting period and we can get it on the ballot.
This is strictly for this resolution?
Yes. This resolution for that ordinance, yes.
I'll move Resolution 159-2010.
I'll second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? A roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yep. That brings us to reports.
Move we receive and file the reports.
Second.
Okay, so any discussion on any of the reports?
Just for clarification on the tax collector's revenue report, redemption
O/L, what is that?
Outside lien holders.
Any other comments or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do you have any committee reports this week?
Finance Committee, myself, Councilman Higgins, Councilman Boyle, met with on Friday. We met with Manager Phelan, our CFO, and our auditor, Tom Ferry, to review the draft audit for 2009. Without getting into specifics, because it's still a draft, we had a very productive meeting. It lasted over an hour. We asked a lot of questions. We sort of got a summary, and guys, jump in any time, because I know I had to leave after an hour, but we got a summary from the auditor, and we have explanations from the auditor, and as well as the CFO, for certain items that we picked out, things that concerned us. The auditor, and I believe the CFO, is also coming back to council when we introduce the final.
Adopt.
So they'll be here to answer anybody's questions that will happen. And once the audit is actually adopted, it will be put on the website on the financial page as the previous audit as well. So, I mean, add anything you guys want, because
when can council expect to get the audit?
We're waiting on some final paperwork from the actual, we got some paperwork from the attorney. The attorney has to sign off on a page. Tom has to finish getting everything together. The goal is to get it to council this week and present it on the 7th. I told him I don't want it to come in your council packets a couple days before the meeting. You guys need it as soon as possible. Our goal is to get it to you this week.
Okay. Will you email me when it's available?
Sure. Thank you. That's the draft version, but there might be some changes.
But yes. To add to what Victor was saying, Patrick and I were there, just to alleviate some concerns from the citizens that the there were some issues in the past that the auditor addressed, and he assured us that those issues that happened in the past have been corrected and are not happening from this point forward. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
That there were some things that he identified. Those issues have been corrected by the current manager. So those issues in the past, for last year, that was prior to the manager being here, have been addressed along with the CFO and him, and they have been addressed.
Including creation of a general ledger.
Which is something that he said, now if you want to know how much money we have, you can go to the CFO and say how much money we have. And you'll get a good answer. Where in the past, if you went and asked how much money you had, now maybe
not. He basically alluded to the fact that
the accounting record,
the finance department, when he saw previous years, was the worst he's ever seen as far as being able to find anything. And he said, based on a combination of things, himself, Tom Ferry. Natasha, he raved about as being our CFO, who rearranged the entire finance department along with Manager Phelan's efforts, the controller's reports, all of these things sort of led to a nexus of a rebirth, so to speak, of our financial abilities, plus full utilization of the admin systems, those types of things. So it's 180, in his own words, it was a 180-degree change from what was.
We are on the road to recovery. This is the first step. 2009 preliminarily was a very good audit.
No, the other, if we're done. Were we done with finance? Or you guys have anything else to add? The website committee, you've made mention of this, that the web page is up about the refuse collection and all of the information. The numbers, the frequently asked questions, the rates, all of that. There's also at the bottom of that page an email address in case somebody has a different question. I know one woman emailed me a question that was fantastic, and that was there, put there for that reason, because we hadn't thought about that. So that's available to any citizen who wants to send us a question. It'll actually be directed to Manager Phelan to answer.
And I guess if it's an appropriate question, the page can be updated. It's sort of a living page. I also wanted to do something similar, create a page for the forensic audit, since it is a ballot question as well, and people need to have an understanding of the ins and outs of that, what the ballot question actually is, what that means, how, you know, how much potentially could that cost. So if there's anybody that has questions that they would want answered about the audit, email myself, email the manager, and what we'll do is the same Q&A type of setup, so that, again, anybody that wants to have the information can, so they make an educated vote. Also, one last piece, I was in communication with the Washington Messenger, and they've agreed for the October release of their periodical to include some information about the refuse ballot question. Because it's a wide distribution, we figured that's just another venue to get out there to hit a lot of different people so they have all the facts. So they were very generous in that, so they're not actually charging the borough anything for that. So that was that was good for us to get that.
Thank you. Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Shared services, Warren Morris Council of Governments, that question came up from the manager. I did bring it up briefly a few times. I do have a report from December 2009 addressing council that there was a $600 charge per municipality to be a member of which. And we didn't make a decision on that. And they're asking us, the Borough of Washington, are we going to continue to be involved with Shared Services Council of Governments? I do have the grant verbiage in front of me, and I would be glad to give it to Councilwoman Gleba to skim through it, you know, to keep that consistent. So, I emailed the mayor on June 22, and I'm still waiting to hear what's your input on, do we want to continue with being a part of the Shared Services? Because we have... Well, we didn't make anything definitive. We did not come out and say no.
Is this different than the Morris County Cooperative?
Yes.
It is different. So.
Yeah. This is the municipalities that I've been trying to work with, Town of Belvedere. Hampton's not involved in it, to get going with the garbage thing. So you're going to ask me, is it worth it? Well, I don't have anything to prove that it is.
But what's the $600 for? It's a fee? Like, sort of like a...
It's a one-time fee to the municipality. It's a grant being given to the Council of Governments and the Warren County Regional Chamber of Commerce, which I believe that will help pay for that person's fees to maintain this Council of Government with any legislation, paperwork, things of that nature. It's supposed to be reimbursable with the grant. Whatever you put in, you're supposed to get back. If you give the monies to the Council of Governments and you decide later on that you're not going to partake, there's a clause in there, I believe, and you could read it, that you don't get those monies back.
And it's $600 per year?
It went to $600. The grant was reduced a little bit, so they were only looking for $400. But it probably had been a CFO said, well, let's keep it at $600 so we can have maybe a cushion. No reference to our attorney.
Were the other were the other municipalities in receipt of the refund?
It hasn't gone through yet. What I know is the Borough of Washington is the only municipality that actually said, and I did say to them, we will not be involved. They wanted an answer, and I gave them one. So, Mayor.
So they're asking again, do we want to be involved?
Well, it kind of got to Richard's desk, and they're probably saying that, you know, this guy you have representing here is not going fast enough for us. So Richard asked me. So I brought my notes here, and this is why we're talking about it now.
They actually sent you a bill for $600, right? No?
Yeah, you said you had an invoice.
Oh, you know, they emailed me with those invoices before.
Right.
In essence, the email came from the Council of Government saying, hey, can you pay the food chain to see if your governing body will reconsider.
Right. And they just reorged, and I got put on as a trustee for one-year term, and they're wonderful. You know, so.
Counsel, what is your pleasure? Do we wish to still be involved?
Are you making a recommendation one way or the other?
My recommendation, honestly, is I don't see the gain for the borough of Washington. No disrespect to the Council of Governments. You know, we do our own due diligence where we need to. You know, we're playing Survivor Island guys here. So, you know, we go out and we try to get it done. So far, to the meetings that I've attended, it's been a lot to do with Trenton. Legislation's coming up. Councilman Higgins went to a meeting with us, and we had the State Assembly there, and the Senator was there. And it was, you know, it was nice conversations. We didn't get anything out of it. So my recommendation would be to not partake any further. I'm not trying to get out of any work. Honestly, I'm not. I don't think I'll lose any of my contacts that I have, you know.
Can we rejoin should we see a need to in the future?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to say no.
It's a yearly fee.
Okay.
I think it's a one-time fee, Dave. Okay. I still think it is. But.
Is there anybody who disagrees with Councilman Boyle and thinks we should continue? Hearing none, I think we have our answer, that we should not continue.
Okay.
Would you like me to notify him?
No, I will.
You okay.
Okay.
Real quickly, I sent an email out the streets. I took a drive on Beethoven, and absolutely that road is in disrepair, you know. Go figure. There were three options on that engineer's proposal, and the grants committee said to go with the full option one, I believe it was, you know. Again, you're taking the professional's advice, and, you know, option one's the best way to go. It's a dead-end street. It's not traveled a lot, and if anybody's here from Beethoven Avenue, you know, say something back. You know, I was thinking about option three. That right side of that street is in disrepair. I don't know how that worked that way, but that does need to be repaired. To repave the whole street, then sure, everybody's street would like to be repaved. It's a dead-end street. So my email went to Housel and McDonald. I don't know if I had Richard on that. Okay, I did. So anyway, that was my suggestion from the Streets Committee. I don't know if you agreed or not, but that was my suggestion. What's the matter?
Speaking of what the, I don't have that paper in front of me as to the option. Can we discuss that at the last meeting, did we not?
Yes, see, I wasn't even aware of the different options. We were just given the cost from Victor and that project.
Was about
and
the
it was
grant.
And, right, the grant.
Okay.
So if there's a.
There was a memo.
If there is a better way, then I never got this.
Yeah, Andrew Holt's memo had all three options.
Yeah, did we not? Options one and two?
If I may, the grant that council authorized us to apply for was for the full restoration.
Correct.
If it's awarded and we decide that we want to scale down the project, we can advise DOT and they'll, of course, proportionally reduce the grant award.
Right.
But we applied for the full.
Correct.
That's what was decided on. That was what was applied for last week.
Okay, so we're not, wait, that doesn't mean that.
But we still have to pick an option
Not for the grant.
My understanding is the way the grant was written was for the full restoration of Belton, Beethoven.
That's correct. The grant was written for the full restoration.
Oh, it was written for the full restoration.
We're actually
choose to go with option one.
That's what was decided.
We're asking
the meeting
from DOT. We're asking for $100,000.
And we're putting out 27.
About that's including the 20% contingency, so ultimately it could be a lot less.
Now, Richard, are we absolutely certain that these 2009 costs will still be respected? Because that's when this memo came out, 2009.
No, they were numbers were updated accordingly for the grant because there was a slight increase in some of the asphalt.
So the option we got from the attorney, is that reflective of
the attorney?
That was
the attorney.
You got Cushing on the line.
It's not a bad thing to have.
No. The reality of it is those numbers in 2009 were worst case scenarios with a 20% contingency. Is it 20 or 25?
20 he has 20. Well, every option, the engineer has a different contingency.
Correct, depending on what it was.
Well, he's going 10%, and then he added 25% for soft costs.
Right.
Okay.
We're applying for the worst-case scenario number. We always have the right, if awarded, to scale down the project, which would reduce the amount of grant and reduce the amount of money from the borough's side.
Because option one that we voted for, from his numbers in 2009, is $126,000. Okay. So if these numbers aren't right and that is higher, that's
he
too
went
bad.
He went over them, and he even said with the increases in material costs that it fell under that.
We never voted for option one. We're going to do that tonight with the grant application.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the grant, we had to submit the grant by last week.
It doesn't mean we're even going to get there. If we don't get the grant, we're not doing anything.
Exactly.
I mean, this is just a matter of applying for the grant.
At the last
we've
meeting,
made no decisions
exactly.
on what we're going
to... Once it's awarded, council will decide what to do. Because remember, you need to go out to bid for this project. So, to allocate your funds accordingly.
But that street, there's a safety concern on that street. Other streets probably have safety concerns,
but that
street.
The right side, it goes down about a foot in some spots.
What is it, all the China or something, or what?
It's actually
the entire length
curve
is separate from the curbing, and it has all the way down, it has like a big V. So when you park your car in it, your car is like this.
And then that's what we asked when we were first discussing this grant. What was the street committee's recommendations as far as Victor recommended the Beethoven project? And then I asked, is that of all the
because
I wasn't here on council when any of these projects were determined
right.
by the engineer, and I said, is that the one that we should work on to apply for the grant?
Right.
And that's when everyone on the streets committee said Beethoven project would be the one to
right.
apply for.
According to our so-called master list, Beethoven was the worst street on the list that fell within the allowable amount that we could apply for in the grant, something to that effect. So that's how that got kicked to the top.
Yeah, and that street survey was conducted in 2008. It's quite extensive, but you're right. You're absolutely right on Beethoven Ave.
Anything else, Councilman?
No, thank you, Mayor. I'm done.
Right. Any other committee reports? Mrs. Weeb.
Well, just the grant committee. I met with the manager last week, and we completed the application and submitted it to the Gannett Foundation in the hopes of receiving some funds to pay for the replacement of the well pump house out at the pool. This has all been discussed at the last couple of council meetings. And I completed the application for the Walmart community grant to be used for the same project. And I'm going to hopefully drop that off at Walmart this week.
Anything else? Okay, let's go on to old business. Municipal parking lot discussion. If you recall, a month ago, the Business Improvement District requested an amendment to the ordinance as it relates to overnight parking. They came in, they presented. The governing body wanted feedback from various emergency services, as well as the streets committee and the borough attorney. Attached to the documentation in front of you is their responses, to which there's nothing that jumps out to them as an adverse effect to changing this ordinance. So the question is, if council wants to change this ordinance, what would they like to change it to? And we can amend it accordingly. If I recall correctly, one of the suggestions was to have it just mirror the times that are required for the overnight parking sticker.
Well, I will...
If I may, and there was one other comment by Councilman Boyle as far as some other housekeeping issues on the ordinance itself.
To name it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we change the... direct the manager to change the ordinance to be consistent with the on-street parking.
Inconsistent? I'll second. Right. Which one are you? I'm going to second that.
Is there any other discussion on that?
Yes.
Yes.
McDonald? Yes.
Does this also include the updating the signage that we discussed at the last meeting?
I believe once the ordinance is completed that the bid is committed to updating the signs, at least in the parking lots.
Okay. Yes.
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 Takes us to new business. We have approval for the Washington Fire Department ABC permit. You want to do that and the ABC permit for the ladies auxiliary all together?
I will move both.
Second.
Okay. Clerk, we have everything.
Yes, all the paperwork that's on.
Okay. And we have the motion and the second.
Can I ask why they need two separate?
The fire department will be at the normal location in the parking lot, and the ladies auxiliary will be uptown, I believe, in the TMC Bank.
The St. Cloud lot.
Two
locations. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Me.
We have Resolution 151-2010.
I'll move Resolution 151-2010.
I'll second.
Okay, and that is the Sorellis property. I believe we had, this is the one we had the questions on at our last meeting.
So I don't have to give up my salary, right? Should I bet that last time?
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Calvo?
Yes.
Thea?
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
McCallum?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Yes.
Resolution 154-2010, redemption of a tax certificate.
The move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one?
Yeah, I have a question. What is the $8,100 premium?
Oh, for the tax sale? Yeah, no, as part of, and Christine, you might have to jump in on this, just a clarification, yeah, if you want to mind. Just.
When they have a tax sale, it works like an auction. So outside lien holders will start bidding at 18%. They'll bid each other all the way down to zero. At that point, once they reach zero, they can start bidding a premium. Well, they'll pay the municipality money to take the lien on the property. So instead of bidding on interest, they're paying us $500 extra, let's say, the premium before. If they redeem it within 5 years, we pay the premium back. If it doesn't get redeemed, then we keep the money.
Okay, any other discussion?
Thank you.
That one, please.
Yes.
Leo?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Boyle?
I'll have to abstain because that's my Aunt Jeanette.
Okay.
Good thing I read that.
Are you insinuating you don't normally read these?
Not named.
Okay.
I must out there.
Next up, we have Resolution 157-2010. An emergency appropriation for the current fund.
So move.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on this?
Yeah, I thought we, the mayor and council part-time, I thought we voted to do away with that.
Correct. You voted to amend the ordinance to make it zero to the max, but the discretion of whether or not the council member's salary would be given up was at the discretion of the council member.
But how much have we already appropriated?
It's been adjusted. In the last amended budget that council approved before we sent the transitional rate application, everyone that withdrew their salaries was pulled. Effective, was it June 1st, I think it was?
April, I think.
Whatever the date was, that's when it's canceled. This was an optional thing. So for those who chose not, I have to leave it.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Leo?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
No.
Boyle?
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Wait
a minute.
How many was that?
Resolution 158-2010, an approval to submit a grant application and execute a grant contract with New Jersey Department of Transportation for Beethoven Avenue.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that one?
Yes. Last paragraph. Be it further resolved that the Mayor and Council and the Clerk are hereby authorized to sign, that the Mayor and Council and the Clerk are hereby authorized to sign the grant agreement on behalf of Washington Borough, and their signature constitutes acceptance of the terms and conditions of the grant agreement and approves the execution of the grant agreement. All right, who's signing that? The mayor and the clerk? We're voting that we're giving approval for that.
No, you're voting that you'll apply for the grant, and then when the grant, if the grant is awarded, you're authorizing these parties to sign on behalf if it's awarded.
Well, if we get the grant, this is saying that they have our approval to sign it, and we'll accept it. They agree with the terms.
Correct. Pretty much if you want DOT money, you have to agree to their terms. This is their format. This is their resolution.
This is for any grant.
This is for any DOT grant. You have to.
But this is locking us into accepting that $100,000.
Remember, we just returned monies to them last year, and we signed the same resolution 2 years before.
$150,000 for Belvedere Phase 2. I think that's
correct.
That was the money was allowed.
The bottom line is, if you want to apply for a DOT grant, this is the language you have to use. We have, this community has returned funds to DOT. They are not as strict, but this is the language they require.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 No.
And opposed?
Yes.
And an abstention. Okay. Vouchers.
Move we pay our bills.
Second.
Any discussion on any of the vouchers?
Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
Let me go first.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. If we could go to page 12. Township of Washington, second line, third quarter. Is that adjusted, the ADJ?
Yes.
Okay. Can you shed some light, please?
Sure. If you recall, earlier this year, last year rather, when the police shared services agreement was approved, it was X dollars per quarter. Anything above that would be split with the Township of Washington. Now, if you remember correctly, they didn't adopt their budget till 4 months into the year. So until they adopt their budget, we don't know what that overage is. This is the portion of the adjustment.
How many more quarters will we be seeing that?
Four. We'll see the last quarterly payment. The first two quarters were the base pay, the base amount. And then after that, once they adopt their budget, the amount goes in.
Okay. I apologize. I didn't see that one. Page 15. If we could go down to line item number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have somebody in that position now, Richard?
Yes.
And that's full-time?
Part.
That's part-time.
Code enforcement, yeah. There's someone coming in doing certificate of occupancies for us, pending the list from civil service.
But it says full-time, but you're only using part-time.
It's only part-time, but where do you say?
Oh, yeah, at the end.
Yeah, because you need to remember, earlier this year, the line item budget for that department was full-time.
Right.
Next year, the line item will say part-time.
And that number, I can't ask that question, I guess, because that's a deal with PEG.
He comes in on an hourly basis to provide COs.
That represents how much?
How many COs?
No, how much workage does that represent there? How 16
how
hours?
How many hours? Oh, hold on. It's about 22 hours so far.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Anything else?
Yeah. Page 3, Comcast. I thought we were getting that stuff for free.
Page 3, Comcast.
With the new
library?
Not at the bottom.
You get basic.
Hold on.
Internet and cable vision.
Yeah, internet.
Yeah,
internet,
you're getting
basic.
That free.
Internet, you have to pay for.
I thought, who
no.
Is it?
Television is provided per the cable franchise agreement, not internet.
The internet is free to the school and the library.
And I thought it was for municipal buildings.
No.
No, not the internet.
Did I vote yes for that?
Probably not.
Yeah. All right, page 7.
I'm sorry, David, what page did you say?
Page 7. Thank you. Yeah, just shake your head. JTP&L.
Yeah.
That was to run the electric from the sewer plant to the DPW garage?
I don't know where the power originated from, but it's a run. It was created, the purchase order, if you look on the left, is 2008. That's okay. When the PO was created.
Right.
So that was the price JTP&L gave to run all the new electric to the new DPW facility, install the transformers, charge them, and hook it up.
And that's all done?
Yep.
Cool. That's it.
Okay. Anything else? Right. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes, so I'm abstaining on anything to do with the fire department.
Boyle?
Yes. Recap, what do we have on your list, Mr. Phelan?
I'm going to update the website to make sure that the new CFO is reflected there as the treasurer, and we'll begin working on the overnight parking ordinance amendments.
Scott, I'm sorry, I have one thing. I asked about the update for the webpage to reflect the ballot question for the audit, and I didn't get an affirmative or a denial from council, just for record-keeping purposes. Does anybody have a problem if we create a similar page for the audit?
It wasn't posed as a question, but I don't have a problem.
Okay. I'm posing it as a question. Because I don't want it to come back and be like, no one told you that you could create a page.
Does anybody have an issue with that?
No.
Okay. And I guess you have your permission.
That's fine.
A good idea.
All right. Council remarks. Councilwoman Gleba.
Just to add to your recap, because I mentioned it in my council remarks last time, as far as getting the recreation breakout, just so that I know you're working on it.
Our goal was to get it done after the summer season, so then
okay.
We have live numbers.
Oh, okay. And then I'd like to personally thank the Washington Messenger for helping us get the word out about the information on the garbage ballot question. And then if someone could give me a list of that master street plan, since I wasn't on council there.
I can email.
And then what exactly now, since this is the last council meeting in August, is the garage status? Like,
sure.
When's it going to be done?
I was actually up there the other day. Electric is in the building. All the plumbing is hooked up. The sewer pump station is hooked up for the sanitary sewer. They were actually painting the walls the other day. All the sheetrock was done. I invited the local, not the local, the state building inspector that attends to the borough. He and I went up there. We looked over everything. He gave us a few punch list items that we have to do before he can issue his temporary certificate of occupancy. We're about 2 weeks behind due to weather, but the shed has, there's two permits, one for the shed, one for the garage itself. The shed's going to get a certificate of occupancy mid-September, pending all the outstanding punch list items from the contractor, and mid to end on the garage, depending on the punch list items. But they were up there actually painting the other day. HVAC is scheduled to kick on tomorrow, actually.
September.
Yep. Originally it was supposed to be end of August, beginning of September, and they lost a couple weeks due to the weather for the work that they were doing. But everything's up and running.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Okay.
I drive up there a couple times a week to make sure they're actually there.
Anything
That's
else?
All I have. Thank you.
Councilman Higgins.
Yeah. Now is the time we usually start about RFP for professionals, so that we can include the interviews in November for appointments in January. Anybody have any feedback?
No, we brought that up. Yeah. I wasn't here last time. I needed
time
before.
I believe you brought that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And there was no dissension among.
Do we need to do that formally?
So you were working on it, right?
Well, if you remember, I'm all ready to go. I just have to change a few things. I needed to know what positions council wants to use fair and open versus non-fair, and that's kind of where it died. I'm ready to go either way.
Fair and open is that they can contribute.
Yes.
They can contribute, and
non-fair is you can't. You're referring to political contributions.
Right.
Right, yes.
I think
that's this body's decision. I can do fair and open for everyone. The only ones we can't do fair and open on are the ones that are being addressed in the shared services agreement for court services. The two professionals, prosecutor, public defender. Yeah.
I thought it was the judge. No?
No, the judge is a different appointment, different type of appointment.
Well, my recommendation is everybody.
That's what we talked about the last time.
Yeah. Last year there was a mix.
Everybody, as far as everybody rebid, like every like Andrew Holt,
yeah.
Tom Ferry, mm-hmm. Is that the consensus? That's
I'm comfortable with that.
Me too.
That's fine.
All right, fair and open for everyone, with the exception, of course, you said, of the prosecutor and the public defender, which for the contract. Yeah. Okay. May I just ask one thing, timeline, what you're looking on for interviews, so I can back into it?
Well, listen, by the time we meet again, it's going to be the 1st of September, or the first meeting in September. We'd like to do this so that we can get it done.
You want interviews October?
No. The end of November?
End of November interviews? Okay.
Yeah. Right?
That's fine. Right?
Yes. I mean, that would include...
That would allow any new council members...
Correct.
But we would also have to, before we have the interviews, we would have to have all of the information to go through.
Right.
So
right.
We would have to have a date where we would have to have all that information.
What I can do is...
Yes.
It'll take me, by the time I put the final touches on the RFP, send them out, receive them, confirm that they've actually submitted everything, like we did last year. Remember how I gave you guys the old digital copies of everything? You know, you're going to want at least, 2 weeks probably to review them all, depending on how many we get. So I don't think it's unreasonable if we're looking in November, you know, mid to end November to start your interview process.
So when do they have to go out and when do they have to be returned?
Well, for RFPs, it's a little bit different, but we could probably get them out.
30 days?
Oh, absolutely.
We send it out, we respond within 30 days, and then we have 2 weeks to schedule.
Oh, I thought you meant, oh, yeah. No, today is the 17th. We could probably have it out by, I'd say, no later than the second week of September.
Okay.
Receipts by, say, the second week of October. Review everything, get it to you. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be on the website as well.
Yeah. Well, the notice for, the request for proposals notice will be on there.
So have them in by October 15th, which is a Friday? Or would you want
to... I'll just have to double check, because with the receipt of bids timeline, certain days you can, certain days you can't. I just have to look at the calendar. But I don't think it's unreasonable to have it by the second or third week of October.
Yeah, we should allow ourselves enough time in case there's a lot of proposals.
The same way I gave it to everyone last year, sufficient? Digital?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have one other thing here. Two. The lady with the sidewalk, did you make contact with her?
I actually spoke with Sandy on it, and she had reached out to Jack, and he's going to address it.
And I was called about the volunteer form that's on the website, and it wasn't like the last one, and actually... It had to do with some of the questions. Like
volunteer form?
Yeah, the volunteer form.
We haven't changed that in probably 4 years.
Pardon
I don't
me?
Know that we ever changed it.
Yeah, well, the one that was picked up downstairs never asked for an educational background. This one has an educational background.
The one that's on the website?
Yeah.
They've had that for years.
The only one I've ever given out
what
without
it asked
one.
For was, what it asked for was experience. Related to what it was they're volunteering for.
No, they asked for educational.
Yeah, I filled one out.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember filling one out too for a Board of Adjustments. Yeah. It had
really?
That. Yeah.
With how much college you've had?
Yep.
Something like that. Like, really?
Education.
Years of education.
I don't remember. Since.
Well, this one is specific to 4 years of college, high school graduate, high school dropout.
I mean, that's
The only ones I've given out in recent weeks, I printed right off the website. I haven't given out any besides those in
that form
months.
I've never, since I've been part of the website committee, has ever changed that form.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Just real quickly, Rich, on the proposals, be bond attorney, mm-hmm. auditor.
Okay.
I'm talking too loud. Public defender.
Well, is that one we just said we're not going to do? Because of the public defender, prosecutor.
I thought we were doing them all.
No, remember those are...
Can't.
No, but I mean, but you're listing them.
I just, I want to verify this list.
I mean, I'm going by...
No redevelopment attorney, correct?
Well, I would recommend you go through the process of award the $0 amount in case you need them next year. You don't have to spend anything.
Municipal engineer, wastewater consultant, planner.
We don't need a planner.
Again, the same thing. I'd recommend you do it because when you need him, he's there. You don't have to expend any funds.
Real estate tax appeal attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutor.
No.
Municipal attorney.
Yes. Yes, and then I have to reach out to the Board of Adjustments as well and Planning Board because they'll have to do their appointments. So there might be duplicate for some of them.
Did you mention auditor?
Yes. Yeah. Bond attorney, auditor, redevelopment attorney, engineer, wastewater. I think that's it. I'm just going by memory. I believe that.
It's from your 12-23-09 weekly report.
I'm just going by memory. I have it written downstairs, so that sounds right.
Okay. I'm trying to catch up. So I have a letter here from the memo from Rich on 7/21. It's about the downtown redevelopment grant. Yeah. Well, anyway,
are you talking about the DOT? Is that the DOT grant? Is it like a three-page?
Yeah.
Three-pager? Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted for clarification, because on the second page, which I know you don't have in front of you, has a downtown redevelopment grant, February 17, 2006, Rich Sciola. We spoke about the share grant program.
Yes. The $65,000 one?
$86,000. Well, the grant's $65,000. Yes. Total cost was
$86,000.
Yes. We have listed here Clark, Catton, and Hintz,
mm-hmm.
Hayer, Gruhl Associates, mm-hmm. McMahon, and Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Hayer, Gruhl even being in the borough's employ because I was on the planning board at that time, and we had Hintz.
I went back and I looked at all the records. At some point, the council decided to switch planners. They switched from Clark, Catton, and Hintz to Hayer, Gruhl for that project.
That was in 2007.
Yeah. I think it started in 2006. The switch was in 2007, and then, or is it started in 2007, the switch was in 2008, but that's what all the records show.
Okay, that just jumped out at me. The second thing is real quick, Mayor, I wasn't at the last meeting, so I was going by the minutes, and in the council remarks, the last sentence was about you weren't able to reach out to the rec chairperson, you know. I might have created a lot of ways because I had taken some issue with about how that committee was going forward, and I didn't want it to get stale, you know. So I put some effort into that, and we had good conversations. But I was just a little bit disappointed. I'm not disrespectful or anything that we didn't really have that as a priority because I think it's extremely important to keep the rec committee viable, strong, keep it moving forward, and. You know, I was taken back just a little bit. You know, I like to be just express my little feeling on that. Thanks for that opportunity, and that's all I have for tonight.
I agree with you, Councilman. I'll just pipe in there, but it's just my time of being bear and father and husband and having some vacation time in there. That's the way it worked out. So there was certainly nothing intentional. It's just that's how it worked.
Councilman Housel. A couple things. Mid-block crosswalk. Is there a performance, a maintenance bond?
No.
Continued with that?
No, there's not.
There's
a warranty on the equipment itself. The problem is on the parking lot side, one of the bollards is loose. And when it doesn't line up, it throws everything out of whack and then it flashes an error message. So we're trying to figure out what the best way to maintain that is. The problem is, people jump on them. And it throws everything out of whack.
Mm-hmm. Second thing is, back at budget time, when we were first working on the budget, we had the library director here. And some people from the public said that they were going to start an organization similar to the Friends of the Library. And it would be similar to what we're trying to do with the pool, set up a 501c3. Because of the 2% cap next year, I know the new budget, the new council may consider only giving the library the required amount. I'd like to find out from the library director what the status of that Friends of the Library organization is.
I can tell you exactly what that is. There are two members of the Friends of the Library that are active. There are others who have expressed interest, but they just have not come forward. And the Friends of the Library has not been a very successful venture so far.
Okay. I don't want the librarian, the head librarian, or the library director to be shocked when the new council might decide that we need to give the required amount next year, if that does happen.
I think the librarian and the board all understand that possibility.
It's a great opportunity for the citizens to get involved and to help the library out.
Anything else?
North Lincoln, storm drains at 57, or Washington Avenue in North Lincoln. Any progress on that? I know there was going to be
DOT came out, and they're claiming that the pipe separated, which is causing the flooding issue, but it's on our right of way. That it's actually on our property, not the DOT property. That's what I'm kind of debating with them right now. Because if it's ours, it's our responsibility to repair.
Did they tell you exactly where it's at?
I'm waiting for the video, which measures it out as they go in.
Because the storm drains are actually in the state right-of-way.
But where the break is on our side, based on what they're telling me. Now, I'm just letting you know what they're telling me. I'm waiting for the video so I can see it.
So it's on South Lincoln where the break is?
Yes.
So it would stand to reason that if that was the case, okay, hydraulics-wise, if there was a breakage on South Lincoln, after the manhole, or after the storm drain, on south side of Washington Avenue, the water from North Lincoln would actually flow through the pipe and surcharge through the drain.
That's exactly why I'm disputing it with them. It didn't sound right. If I recall correctly, I think from the center line, they have 20 feet each way, if I recall correctly. So I'm waiting for their video, I'm waiting for their survey to show me where this is. I mean, they're working with me, they're just being very slow about it, but they are working with me.
That's it.
Councilman Cioni?
No, I have nothing.
I have nothing.
I have one question if I can. Rich?
Yeah.
The break in the pipe out there, that was not ours to fix, right? That was the water company.
Oh, out there? Yeah. I came back the other day. I was out, and I'm pulling back in, and in the morning I didn't see it because it was raining. I came back, and in the afternoon everything was all wet. So thankfully we came, we found it, they came, they shut it off, and it was still leaking, so it was on their side. Okay. They did it yesterday, last night actually.
Move,
will
you
turn? Thank you.
Is there
a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?